greetings and thanks for listening. My name is Stan Houston, and I'm a good friend of Deb Newman of Newman Long-Term Care. And today we'd like to take just a few minutes of your time to talk about the good investment that you made when you bought a Travelers Long-Term Care insurance policy a number of years ago. And so we're going to help you kind of join us for a cup of coffee. I'm with Deb right here, and Deb is pouring the coffee, and we're going to ask you to join us and just sit down and find out about that long-term care insurance policy that you purchased for your family protection some years ago, and there's been some changes made, and we want to help you do that. Now, we want you to know we have to do this, and you understand that this is what we call policy review information, and it's intended for educational purposes only. The material contained herein does not change the language in your actual insurance policy. Please remember that. Please be aware that this information is not state-specific and that policy language may vary slightly by the state in which it was issued and where you live. Newman Long-Term Care, doing business as Newman Financial Services, LLC, is not liable for any errors or omissions contained in this program. So please consult your insurance policy contract for complete details of your long-term care insurance coverage, and of course, ultimately, the insurance company itself. Well, there we go. Now let's talk the language that all of us understand. Deb, welcome to our little program of review. How are you today?
I'm great, Stan, and as always, this is one of my favorite things to do and go back and review these policies that we sold in many cases over 15 years ago because they remain as strong and if not stronger in some cases, which I'll share with you later, the policy sold today. So it was a tremendous value then and it continues to be a tremendous value. So I know I'm going to enjoy myself doing this.
We always do it, Newman, long-term care. We, if we don't have fun, we don't want to do it.
Well, there's that. Now, the one thing that I want you all to do is have your policies in front of you. And so we're literally going to walk through the policy, and you'll be able to see what features and benefits you have chosen as we go through these features. Because the one thing I do know is that if you bought this, quite frankly, if you'd bought it yesterday, chances are you're not going to remember everything that we talked about, let alone having bought it maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
We do forget things.
Oh, absolutely. The good news is you remember that you bought long-term care insurance. So, and what I would encourage you to do is to remind your family that you own long-term care insurance.
That's very important, isn't it?
Oh, it's critical because what we have discovered over the last 20 years is that long-term care planning is really about your families. So that's the important aspect of this. And as you go through this, you will be very proud to share with your family the features and benefits because in the end, it will be those caregivers which will have relief because you understood how important it was to plan.
You need long-term care. Let me tell you, as someone who's had family go through long-term care, they're going to be very, very happy that mom or dad put this in place,
let me
tell you.
And each of you as spouses will be eternally grateful as well because one of the things that we find is that the caregiver, their health diminishes almost faster than the person being cared for. So that's the beauty about you being able to surround yourself with caregivers that the this policy will help pay for so that the caregiver within the family doesn't get worn out or as worn out. Now, one thing, Stan, I always like to start back with and say, why did you do this in the first place? You know, why is it? You know, I mean, I can say all day long about how important the need to plan for this is. But I will just share one statistic with you, and I would presume that most of us listening are over the age of 65. Now, some of us aren't because I actually have the same policy, and I'll share with you as we go through my own policy, and I'm not yet 65, but I fully intend to live to 65. So for those of us that are already 65 or that intend to live to 65, there is, in fact, a 70% chance we will need care. That's why you did this.
In the fourth quarter of life, things happen.
Right. And therefore, you are better prepared for that stage of life because you did this. And, you know, I've seen another quote, which I think is probably even more realistic, Stan. And that is, for you or I or whoever is listening, you know, maybe we don't even care about the 70%, because in our lives, it's either 0% or it's 100%. It's not going to be 70% of my body that needs care. It's going to be, I'm either going to need care or I'm not. And so I need to personally be prepared for that.
That's what we've done. I'm a believer in long-term care. We have it in our family, and that's right. We're probably going to beat the odds. All of us may beat the odds, and we're ready, prepared for that.
So. Right, and I don't know whether beat the odds means that we'll need care or not.
That's right.
But we're prepared either way. So it's important, and I think you want to share with your family the importance of this decision that you made, and quite frankly, encourage them to do the same thing. Now, what I want to share with you, just some in general, what's going on in terms of people receiving care. And as you might guess, the number one reason that people need care is because they have dementia. And I think if any of us were to sit down and really have a heartfelt discussion with our loved ones, that would be the thing we're all afraid of, is, you know, what if that happens in our lives? And we need care because our memory has gotten to the point where we can't be responsible for ourselves. So the industry is, in fact, bearing that out. That is the number one claim for people that need care. Second to that is strokes. And, of course, that ends up being an extended period of time as well. So those are the two things that that cause people to need care more than anything. But what's interesting is where people receive care. Now, Stan, when I say those three words, long-term care, what comes to mind?
Exactly where Mom was, the nursing home.
Yep. So we all panic when we think of long-term care because we can only visualize that that would be received in the nursing home. Now, I am not here telling you the nursing home is bad because, quite frankly, a lot of people have been cared for in nursing homes, and they've been well cared for in nursing homes. So clearly, your policy pays for that. But I think most of us would rather vision ourselves being cared for in our own homes, surrounded still by family, and family being comfortable coming and being with us as we're being cared for at home. So what I want to share with you are some statistics that bear out what's really happening. And that is that 42% of all claims right now are, in fact, being delivered at home. So it is home care.
That really works out nicely in case you have to have that situation.
Yep, there, absolutely. And then
to being where I want to be.
Yep, and have more independence. And the second thing, which we've all come to understand within our communities, many of our communities have what are called assisted living facilities. And again, that gives us a little bit more independence, but allows us to get the quality care that we need. And 28% of the claims are for assisted living. So if you were to combine those, that's 70% of claims for long-term care are coming in outside of the nursing home.
That's a remarkable change.
Absolutely. But, you know, in a funny way, Stan, it hasn't been a change, but most people perceive that it's always been the nursing home. But really, for a couple decades, care is moving away from nursing homes. So the claims to date for nursing homes are 30% of all claims are coming in for the nursing home. And it may be that we travel through a couple of these different places as we need care, and of course we can certainly do that with our policies. So as we look at your policy, I want to make sure you understand that your policy does cover all three of those levels of care, whether it be in our own home, in an assisted living, or in a nursing home. So another thing to understand is that there have been already $6 billion of claims. And in fact, it's $6 billion per year are paid out right now in long-term care claims. So it's becoming substantial, and there's a lot of people that really are benefiting from the policies that they bought. And overall, I think it's over $50 billion have been paid out in long-term care claims. So as a society, and you look at what the alternatives would have been, our government and our states and everything else would have been there to some extent responsible, and people would have run out of money if it had not been for these policies. So this is good for each of our families, but it's also good for our economy that there is dollars flowing in for people to receive care.
They've prepared for these times.
Yep, absolutely. So what I want to do now is talk about your specific plan, which you bought in the 90s primarily, or maybe very early in 2000. And so what I want you to remember, of course, is that you bought a policy from Travelers. So when you look at the physical policy, it's red and white, and it has the old Travelers umbrella on it. And so that's the policy that you're looking for. And it says Travelers Insurance, a member of Citigroup. Or in earlier years, it was even before that, it might just say Travelers Insurance. Now, what I want to share with you is what's happened over the time that you've owned this policy. In July of 2000, GE Capital Assurance entered an agreement to reinsure and service Travelers Insurance long-term care. And so that's been that was ongoing. And then in July of 2005, MetLife acquired Travelers Life and Annuity. So at that point, you began receiving your billings, and any communication about your long-term care came from MetLife. And so now MetLife owns these policies. And so I want to share with you what the ratings are of MetLife Insurance Company of Connecticut. And you'll be very pleased when you hear the ratings. And this is as of May 12th of 2010, so very current. There are four rating services that rate insurance companies primarily, and you're probably familiar with these as they rate a lot of financial and companies across the board. It's AM Best, which primarily rates insurance companies. Then there's Fitch, Moody's, and Standard & Poor's. And with AM Best, they are A-plus superior. With Fitch, they are AA-minus, very strong. With Moody's, they are AA3, excellent. And with Standard & Poor's, they are AA-minus, very strong. So these are incredible ratings for an insurance company, because across the board, they're really at the very top tier of how these companies are rated. So that's the good news for you in terms of being a part of MetLife. So now what I want you to do is grab your policies, which hopefully you already have, and turn to page 3, which should say at the top of that, policy schedule. So that's where we want to be right now, on page 3 of your policy where it says policy schedule. The first thing that I want you to look at is the policy date. So you're going to see a policy date there, because that's going to be important, because some changes happened in January 1st of 1997. So you're going to look at your policy date. Then I want you to look at the policy number. And it will say that it's either LTC3 or LTC4. And while I'm probably going to be confused as we're going through this, Stan, I want to try and differentiate as we go through and talk about features and benefits. They will be slightly different whether you have an LTC3 or an LTC4.
So we have LTC3, LTC4. Is that it?
Well, and then the other difference will be those that bought at the policy date, if it is before 12/31, I should say if it's before 1/1 of 97. So if it's dated earlier than and including 12/31 of 1996. Those folks have language that is pre-government regulations. And quite frankly, what's exciting about this is for those folks, that's really a good thing, because they had different policy language, but they got grandfathered into the advantage of some tax benefits. So let me start with that.
Okay.
In 1997, the HIPAA legislation went in force. And all of you, whether you know it or not, are intimately familiar with this HIPAA language, because that's a language that required pretty much every company that you do business with and every healthcare provider this disclosure information. So when you open up your mail throughout the year and every single policy that you own and wherever you go and get your healthcare delivered, even your dentist, I think, has to send you disclosure information.
Very familiar with them now.
Yep, and that all started as a result of this HIPAA legislation that went into effect 1/1 of 97. But there was something else very important in that HIPAA legislation, and that was that there was greater clarity as to the tax advantages and the tax savings relative to long-term care insurance. And so what was clarified is that if you itemize your taxes and you have medical expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, you can include part of your long-term care premium as a medical expense.
That's correct. Right.
So there's some people that are able to actually deduct part of their long-term care premium. And so that all happened that January 1st of 97. Now, what happened was the older policies were grandfathered into that advantage. So so any policy that you have with us, for the most part, is what's now called a qualified long-term care policy, whether it was written before or after that period. But the difference is if it was issued after, beginning actually on 1-1 of 97, it will have different language in the policy as to how you qualify for benefits. So that's going to be the difference. As we go through and talk about how you qualify for benefits, I'm going to share with those that have it from an earlier date, and then I'm going to flip over to the folks that have a date starting after January 1st of 97, and going forward, their policies are going to be slightly different.
Okay.
So that's why that's important. And for those of us that had the policies before that, there is a really modest little difference, but it is certainly an advantage to having a policy that is that old. In fact, Stan, one of the things I'm going to talk about as we go through this is that my own policy was written in, I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 1994. And so my policy is the policy that was dated before 97. And therefore, I will not, under any circumstances, let loose of that policy because you can't buy it like that anymore.
It was good then, it's better now?
Right, it actually is. And so what I want to share with those of you that have it dated before that, do not let anyone try and talk you out of this policy and tell you that something new is better than that.
It didn't rust away and fade away and give up and you need to trade it on a new one now. That's not true of...
Oh, man, Stan, you, well stated, because a lot of people say, oh, if I bought this thing so many years ago, it hasn't kept up with what's going on. And the reality is, wait till we talk about it, because it has kept up, and in this little modest way, it actually might be better.
Okay.
So...
Good. That's good to know.
Yeah. So now we're going to start, and we're going to look at your policy when you're on page 3, remember.
I got that.
You're on page 3, and it says policy schedule. It's got your name, and it's got your issue age, and it's going to say that policy number, which is either LTC3 or LTC4, and it's got your date. So now when you start looking down below there, it says basic policy coverage details. And so let's look at what you've got in your policy, and then we're going to go through the language that's embedded in the actual contract. All right, Stan?
We always need to be reminded.
Right. So what you're going to find when you look there, whether it is an LTC3 or an LTC4, it's going to say a daily benefit amount. It's going to be divided into two categories. It's going to say nursing facility care, and then below that it's going to say community-based care. And so oftentimes what we did for people, Stan, it's going to be the same number. And a lot of these older policies, it started at $100 a day.
I remember those days.
Yep. So it's going to say $100 a day for the nursing home benefit and $100 a day for community-based. Now, there may be somebody that's got different numbers, so you'll know when you look at yours what it says there. And then it'll say in a different order, depending on whether it's a 3 or 4, it'll say benefit period. Now, that benefit period is actually, remember, Stan, when I used to always talk about bucket of money?
That's the term you use. I bet a number of people still remember. Deb Newman talking about the bucket of money.
Right. So let's talk about where that bucket of money comes from. So you're going to look and you're going to see it says a benefit period. Maybe it says 5 years. Maybe it says 3 years. Maybe it says unlimited. But if it says 5 years, the one piece of math I was able to do in my head at some point was I knew that there was 1,825 days in 5 years. So if your daily benefit was $100, 1,825 times $100 was a bucket of $182,500.
There you had the bucket.
So when you look down on the page, it's also going to say initial policy maximum. And the one I'm looking at is, in fact, $100 a day, 5-year benefit, which multiplies out to $182,500. So that is your initial policy maximum. While that's important to say initial is because if we have a compound inflation feature, that's building that policy as well. It's building the maximum as well as the daily benefit. So we've got your policy maximum, and many of you will just see unlimited. And I will share with you now and probably later in the program as well that right now very few companies selling long-term care insurance even offer
That's
unlimited
correct.
Anymore. And so if you have an unlimited policy, don't you dare let anybody talk you out of this policy.
You have a classic.
Exactly. So, that's important. But if you have a bucket of money, it's also clearly of value because you're going to see how much it will have grown. Then it'll probably at some point in there talk about what your premium is. And then it'll say optional benefits. And some of you will have added this inflation feature. And that's was critical. My guess would have been probably 70 or 80% of the people that we recommended long-term care to have some sort of inflation feature.
I remember you told them that was important.
Absolutely. So they either have 5% compound, or they have 5% simple, or they have something called the CPI option, which allowed you, if you have that option, you know what I'm talking about. They send you a letter yearly and ask you whether you want to increase your benefit by a modest amount each year, and then you pay extra as you increase that benefit. So, and that I will not be able to tell you on this recording certainly how much that's gone up because it was different every year, and whether or not you took that option or not was up to you. So that might be something that that we could help you with if you called, and we could call the insurance company, get that information.
Figure out how
you.
Much that really is right now.
Right. Or, in fact, we'll get you the number, and you can call direct as well, which would make it easier for you to get the information directly. So you've got a daily benefit for nursing home. You've got a daily benefit for community-based care. You've got a benefit period, which translates into your policy maximum. And then you've got your optional benefits, which most often are inflation. Some of you that have an LTC-3 will have one other option, and that is called an increased option. I think that's all it says on there is an increased option. And what that stand does is increase the home care benefit, and we'll talk about that more explicitly when we get into the contract. The other thing that you will see there is a waiting period. And so you will see a waiting period of probably either 20 days, 60 days, or 90 days. And we'll talk about waiting period as well. That's how many days of care that you need to pay for your own care before the policy kicks in.
Right.
But we're going to talk about some very magical things that Traveler did in that language as well, which makes that a very generous way of counting the days. So that's your benefit schedule that you've got there. So now let's open up the policy and start looking at how these things are defined within the policy.
Okay, Deb, now what page do you want us to be on?
All right, well, it looks to me, and now every policy might be slightly different, but I'm looking at three policy contracts in front of me, and they're all page 8. And so I'm thinking that we want to be on page 8. Now, the one thing I want you to remember when I talked about the first two things I want you to know? Is if your policy is dated 12/31/96 or earlier, we're going to call that pre-HIPAA, all right?
Pre-HIPAA.
Pre-HIPAA. So if you've got a pre-HIPAA policy, I want you just to listen for when I say that.
Okay.
Or if you've got that, and that would be an LTC-3 policy, or there are people that have LTC-3 policies that are dated 1/1/97. And later, and we're going to call those post-HIPAA.
That'll work.
But that's also going to be LTC-3. And then there's those of you that have LTC-4. Okay, so I'm going to be referencing the little modest differences in all three of those policies as we walk through the contracts.
Well, that's why I'm glad I have Deb Newman as my long-term care advisor, because she'll help me figure this stuff out.
Right,
it's
right,
complicated,
right.
Doesn't it, sometimes?
Well, it's of course, in my life, it seems simple, but but now that I go back and try and explain this in a simple way, it seems rather complicated.
That's right. Okay.
But so here's the important thing. It's going to say either benefits for nursing facility care at the top of that, or it's going to say qualification for policy benefits. And in either case, that's really what they're describing. So the way that the traveler's policies were designed is that remember we talked about on your page 3, it had a nursing facility benefit and a community-based care benefit. All right, so now on page 8, we're talking about the nursing facility benefit, which they very generously, back in the 90s, they were so ahead of the game. They included assisted living as part of nursing care benefits.
So that works in the same way.
Right.
Okay.
So on page 8, it defines these things. So it defines what a nursing facility is. I think we all know what a nursing care facility is for the most part. And then it defines what an assisted living facility, assisted care living facility is the way that they've got it in some, or it says assisted living care. And so this is care that you receive while you're living in an assisted living facility. And in the definition there, you will see that it's very generous. It just simply says a facility that's engaged primarily in providing ongoing care and related services to residents located in one location. Provides 24-hour care available, and that means that there has to be an awake and alert person on duty for 24 hours, because there are circumstances where you're just in someone's home and they're taking care of 5 or 6 people, but everybody's sleeping, so the caregiver's got to be awake. And it has a trained and ready-to-respond employee on duty, and that's what I'm talking about there. Provides at least 1 meal a day, hopefully 3. It is licensed if there is licensing required, and it has formal arrangements for a doctor or nurse in the case of an emergency and for handling prescription drugs. So it's very generous in the definition, again, even dating back as far as it did. And so what this would include now, as we look at how care is delivered, are what we look in the communities and we see places called assisted living facilities that maybe have 30 or 40 or 100 kind of apartment setting. And then also memory loss homes, which are emerging across our landscape. And that's an exciting development to me, because that's more focused on the folks that have that kind of a need and they're set up to service that. Now, one subtle difference between 3 and 4, as it defined assisted living facilities, remember long-term care 3 or long-term care 4, and that is in long-term care 3, whether it's post or pre-HIPAA, it defines that the facility must care for a minimum of 5 people. In LTC 4, they removed that qualification, so it doesn't even have a number of people that needs to be residing at these places. So what I do know is that most policies sold today actually have a requirement that there be at least 10 people, and that's more restrictive than what your policy says. Your policy is very generous as it defines an assisted living facility. Now, the other thing that's important as we go through this, and on the benefit, it'll say how we are eligible for the benefit. And particularly, I'm looking at the long-term care 3 policies, and it says that it will pay 100% of the nursing facility care expenses up to your daily benefit. So Stan, what that's saying, so now let's say my policy, in fact, is grown to $200 a day. Okay?
That's right. Okay.
So now if I'm in a facility that costs $6,000 a month, this policy is going to pay 100% of what it cost for care up to my daily benefit, which is $200 a day times 30 would be $6,000. So my policy will pay the entire $6,000. Now, let's say that you were in a facility that only cost $5,000, but my benefit says it'll pay up to $6,000. But what it says here is that it will reimburse up to the cost of care up to my full benefit. So if the cost of care is only $5,000, they're only going to pay $5,000 because that's what they're reimbursing. They're reimbursing the expenses of your care. And that's common sense, and I think most of us remember that's what the policy says.
We're not going to make money on this deal.
Right, exactly.
That's not what insurance is about. It's about taking care of your needs.
Right, and reimbursing the cost of your care. So that's how all of these work, whether it's a pre, post, or four. It reimburses up to the level of your benefit. And if there's any benefit left over, it remains in that bucket of money. Remember that.
Back to the bucket.
Yep. So it stays in the bucket, and it might extend the period of your care longer than the 5 years because you've not using your bucket as fast.
So there is an incentive for me to, you know, take good care of myself and not burden people, but to do what I can to keep those initial costs where I can, right? I can do it.
Well, I know that people do that. Now, yeah. You know, and quite frankly, I'm all about get the best quality care
right.
Soon and use the policy because there's no sense in and leaving money in the bucket if we've never used it. Right. Okay. So either way we look at it, but essentially that's how it works. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to depart in the language differential between these three policies, and that is, what are the definitions of how you collect the benefit? Because if you choose, Stan, to move over to that assisted living facility just because you're sick of doing your laundry, they're not going to pay for your care.
Okay, that's good.
Good to know, right?
Right.
Or if your spouse gets tired of you asking her to do the laundry, she's not going to be able to send you over there either.
This is not a convenience store.
Right. So you must be unable to care for yourself. And that is defined. And that is defined in your policies. So now this is where we're going to go pre and post and long-term care for. Okay. So I'm going to start with pre-HIPAA, long-term care 3. Your policies say, we will pay the benefits for nursing facility care upon written certification by a healthcare professional that you need human assistance in performing two or more activities of daily living, or you have been found to have a cognitive impairment. So that's very straightforward and very simple. Now, when we go into the policies, I'm going to define what they mean as a healthcare professional and what those activities of daily living are. But before I do that, I'm now going to go to post-HIPAA, LTC 3, and what your policy says, we will pay the benefits for nursing facility care upon written certification by a licensed healthcare practitioner in a plan of care that you are a chronically ill individual as defined on page 4 of the policy. Such nursing facility care must be delivered pursuant to the plan of care. Now, that is the same language that's in post-HIPAA, LTC-3s, and LTC-4. Now, the reason that I'm making a clarification here is that that is the government language that was put into effect in 1-1 of 97. So, quite frankly, pretty much any long-term care policy that you would have bought from any company has now this language, which, Stan, if I was to ask you which department of our government wrote this language... Do I dare ask you that question spontaneously? This language was actually written by the Treasury Department. Which, of course, knew a lot about how people need to be careful. But that's the language that's in all the policies, quite frankly, since that time.
Okay, so that defines it for us.
Right. But then you must ask, well, what does chronically ill mean?
So that's, as you were saying that, I said, what does that mean? You know, I mean,
right. So now if we go back to page 4, now I'm going to take you back through some definitions. Again, if you have LTC-3 pre, you don't have to listen to this, but there's a lot of similarity. But at any rate, in chronically ill individual means any individual who has been certified by a licensed healthcare practitioner as being unable to perform without substantial assistance from another individual at least two activities of daily living for a period of at least 90 days due to a loss of functional capacity or required substantial supervision to protect such individuals from threats to health and safety due to severe cognitive impairment. Now, here is the real difference there, and that is at 90 days. And so what that means is that it, in fact, that if it's a physical impairment that qualifies you for care, it must be deemed to last at least 90 days. And a certified licensed healthcare practitioner can, in fact, be a doctor, nurse, or social worker that can make that determination. So, and they write up a plan of care as to how your care is delivered, and that qualifies you. They can write that statement that you are expected to need care for 90 days. So if you have a 20-day waiting period on your policy, it, as long as somebody says it's going to last 90 days, it could start paying in the 21st day. But that language is not in those earlier policies. They didn't have that 90-day certification. Right. So, I mean, most of us feel like, well, long-term care would certainly be 90 days, but now it's defined that way in the policies, all of which were written after January of 1997. Now, the other thing it also referred to, it keeps referring to these activities of daily living. Now, whichever of those policies that you have, there is a list on page 4 on most of these policies where they start defining things. And they'll say activities of daily living there, and it will list dressing, eating, transferring, toileting, and bathing. If you have a long-term care 3 policy, whether it be post or pre, it lists those 5 activities. So you must be unable to do 2 of those without substantial assistance to qualify. And I'll define what substantial assistance means, but it's got 5 things there. In the long-term care 4 policy, that generation added one additional activity of daily living, which was continence. And that's the ability to maintain control of bowel and bladder function. So if you have an inability to do that independently, that could also qualify you as one of the activities. So that's the only difference in 4, long-term care 4, is it adds that 6th activity of daily living. So now, one of the other things that I want to describe for you is what does substantial care mean? Because that's one of the things that separates your policy from what other policies were. And in the day, Travelers policy was very generous, and it still maintains that language, and it's as good as any policies, even today, as it relates to how they define substantial assistance. And substantial assistance means hands-on assistance or standby assistance. So that means that somebody could be lifting you in and out of the tub, and that would be hands-on. Or I've had clients that their doctor said, I do not want you, you know, showering unless somebody is within arm's length of you.
Take care of you.
In the event that you fell or needed care. So that would be standby assistance, and that's a little bit more liberal.
That's right.
And so that's in your policy. So you've got that that defined as well. So basically, whether you have the pre-HIPAA or the post-HIPAA, it's very similar language because it's this inability to do these 2 activities or cognitive impairment, you know, because of memory. That's the same. But in the post-HIPAA language or in the LTC-4, it does say that if it's a physical impairment, it must be deemed to last at least 90 days. So that's one of the modest differences as it relates to that. All right, Stan. So was that crystal clear how that benefit worked?
Well, it's clear.
but that language of how you qualify is on 8 or 9. And then, of course, the definitions that are used in that language are in the earlier pages, starting on page 4. So, you know, that's how you read these policies. Now, I want to keep going. So now you've got the nursing facility benefit, and you know that that covers either nursing home or assisted living.
Right. Got that.
And they also go on to say it could be an Alzheimer's facility, hospice facility, and they pay it, you know, in that same way, which, again, is very generous. But now, as you go through that policy, you will also see one additional benefit listed right behind that, which is benefits for bed reservations. And what that simply means is in the event that you are in a nursing home or a nursing facility or assisted living and you need to go to the hospital for some period of time, they will pay for your bed in your absence. So that you don't, because I have heard people say that, you know, in the event you don't pay for that bed, whether you're there or not, they might give it away. So this way you make sure that you're, you know, you still can come back to that room. And it's 30 times the daily benefit, so they would pay up to 30 times a year for that. And so we've got that. Then right below that, now it starts talking about benefits for community-based care. And this is, again, would include that home care, which is the area where most of us would like to at least start receiving our care. So that's what they consider to be community-based care. And then they define it there as home health care services. And you can read through that. And then also, we'll talk about some of the other features that are embedded to that. But right below that, they talk about adult daycare because, again, you are living at home, so you're living in the community, and you're either receiving home care delivered to you or you're doing an adult daycare scenario every day or however often it is.
It's all covered under that.
And they would cover it under the home care benefit. And then they define, right after that, they'll define how you qualify for benefits, and it's the same qualification that we just went through in depth, whether it's you know, is your pre-HIPAA, post-HIPAA, or long-term care for? It's the same way you qualify, whether it's for community-based care or a nursing home care. So that didn't change. So that's defined there. Now, here is, once again, where you're going to want to know what policy you have.
Okay.
Because
I'm looking at right now again.
All right. So now in the long-term care three policies, the home care benefit or the community-based care benefit will say that it pays 80% of the home health care expenses incurred up to your full daily benefit. So the qualification is the same, but the definition is just, or excuse me, the qualification is the same, but the benefit is modestly different in that they will pay 80% of the cost of care up to your full benefit. So let me explain or give an example of how that might work. In my own policy, I have $200 a day benefit. And mine is the long-term care three. And so that says that it will pay 80% of the cost of care up to the full daily benefit. So Stan, if care costs $200 a day, okay, my policy pays $200 a day. But remember, it says it'll pay 80% of the cost of care up to my full daily benefit. So if it costs $200 a day, they're only going to pay $160. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even though I have a $200 a day benefit, for home care it's going to pay $160 because in that circumstance, because they're paying 80% of the cost of care. All right? So what happens to the other $40 I didn't use?
That stays in that proverbial bucket.
Right.
Right.
Yep. So it might extend.
So it's
extend.
Not lost money.
Right. It might just extend that I would take it out,
right,
you know, at a later date. So that's okay. But let's say the care cost, if I said to my family, I don't want to burden you at all, so I don't want just 8 hours of care, I want 24 hours of care, and that might very well be $300 a day. So now my cost of care is $300 a day. Remember, my policy pays
$200.
80% of $300 is $240.
I can even do that math.
Yep, and my policy will pay 80% of the cost of care up to my full daily benefit, which is $200.
There we are. Okay.
So most of us are still going to collect our full benefit, but it's done by this formula, 80% of the cost of care up to our full daily benefit.
And that formula sits there as part of the contract. We just have to make sure that we're aware of it.
Right. Yep. Now, if you have a long-term care four, they just eliminated that 80% and everybody gets 100%. You know, so the LTC four, that's an advantage there that it just made it the same. So that doesn't have that formula. Now, some of you that have, but wait, there's more. some of you that have long-term care three have a rider called the increased benefit option, which in fact took that 80% home care and increased it to 100%. So that will be on that page three where it says what your benefits are. It will show whether you have that increased benefit option or not. I would guess probably 75% of us that have LTC3 don't have that option because it wasn't available until later on. And so, but I just want to let you know that's what that means then. If you have that increased benefit option, it simply means that it took away that 80% language and just simply made it 100%.
It's really helpful to know these small details because when that time comes, I want it to be clear to me and remember what those things are.
Right. And, you know, I will tell you, regardless of whether you remember this or not, obviously it's in your contract, but the one thing I do want you to take away is that you have very, very comprehensive care, regardless of which of these policies you have. So let's keep going under that community-based care, and we're going to see that they also define some other things under there. They have the, talk about the home care, the adult daycare, and then they have benefits for informal caregiver training. That's in long-term care four, and that's simply a benefit that says that your family can get trained if they need to learn how to do some sort of care for you. Yep. And it's just five times your daily benefit, so it's not a lot, but it might be something where they have to get trained on how to give insulin or something of that nature. If there's a fee for that training, it would be covered by the policy.
That's a nice-to-know thing.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, and this is the part where we have archived everything that travelers in MetLife has ever sent, but I'm not sure which policies they send it to. Some of you that have long-term care 3, that might have been an enhanced feature that was added to your policy, but again, it's not a huge thing, but look for that if it's in your policy. Then they all have a benefit called Benefits for Respite Care. And Stan, I know that your wife, Karen, had both of her parents need care, and you had both of your parents.
We were 4 for 4, as I say.
Right. So I know that Karen ended up doing a lot of...
Oh, for years.
Running back and forth and doing caregiving of her parents. And what this benefit says is it's really relief for the caregiver.
Wow.
So
that would have been nice.
Absolutely, because that's what happens, and we recognize that within our families, that person that's delivering the care is wearing out. And so what this says is that they will pay up to 20 days a year simply for respite relief. You don't have to go on a long-term claim. You can just put in this claim. It can only be 1 week, and it's not subject to your waiting period. So this really does give immediate relief for that caregiver. That's embedded in your policies, and it pays up to 20 days a year for that.
Because I know that sometimes, particularly in the later years, you know, my dear wife is going up to see her parents 2 and 3 times a week.
Right. And so, you know, if she had needed a break from that, they would have allowed to pay for somebody to get that care, and it would have been reimbursed.
Again, a nice to know.
Yep. And then my favorite benefit, and I'm probably on page 13 or so as we're going through your policies, and again, it's going to vary depending on which series we're looking at, but there is a benefit called care coordination. This is one of the things that, is in my recollection, Travelers was really a leader on, and so all of our policies have this, even if they're as mine as 16 years old. And what this says, Dan, that you can hire someone to help you develop a plan of care. Because one of the things that we find when people start getting, if you will, drawn into the caregiving, they're drawn into it before they even know they're in it. And before they're consumed by it, and they are so stressed out, they don't even know who to turn to. And so we often get those calls, and what we'll say is, whoa, remember, your policy pays for a care coordinator. And this is someone who will come out to your house, visit with you, assess what the needs are.
Maybe find some of the resources.
Yes, and help you find the care. And so these folks are invaluable. And what Travelers does is it pays for you to hire somebody independently, or you can use, you know, recommendation from Travelers.
I like the way you put that, because that matches the experience. All of a sudden you find, oh, my goodness,
right. You're into it so deeply you don't even know where to turn. And so these folks, you know, I'd like to call them a navigator, or I think you and I had a discussion at an earlier time where we talked about them even being a coach.
That's right. Yeah, just to come along, not make decisions for you, but give you options, show you choices, and help you know where the resources are.
Right. And also help within families. I've talked to these care coordinators, and they said, Stan, one of the things that they do as much as anything is help families where there are differing opinions, help them make decisions collectively where they could not do that on their own.
Because if you think all of the siblings are going to agree unanimously on everything, is welcome to planet Earth.
Right. So that's what these folks do. It's paid for by your policy. And if there is a limit, it's 20 times your nursing facility benefit. So again, if it's grown to $200 a day, 200 times 20 is $4,000 a year. That's a pretty generous benefit. That does come out of your bucket, but I'm telling you, take it out of the bucket. That's probably the most treasured benefit that's just embedded in these policies.
We need some wisdom in those times in our lives.
Yep, absolutely. Then there's a benefit called home modification, where they will allow you, again, to take money out of your policy to put in ramps, put in grab bars, widen doorways, whatever might be required for you to stay in your home. And under the long-term care 3 policies, it is limited to 20 times your daily benefit each year. Again, it's taken out of the bucket. And under the long-term care 4 policy, there's a one-time maximum, which is 50 times your daily benefit.
I guarantee you, most people who have a long-term care insurance policy never knew that that could be a part.
Absolutely. And this is one, if you did remember this when you first bought it, clearly you have probably forgotten about that.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's in there. And that's, you know, that's an important feature for some of us to begin to make transitions as we move through our care choices. So that's how the facility care and the home care works. Now we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the elimination period. We're going to talk about the inflation period and then something called waiver premium.
Should we take a break for a cup of coffee?
Sure. Good idea.
Right. Let's do that and then we'll finish up that way. Great.
Perfect.
Well, Deb, I have my second cup, and I'm ready to hear the rest of the story.
All right. So your waiting period was also on that page 3, and it either said 20, 60, or 90 days, typically. And so I wanted to find that. Now, I'm actually going to really confuse people. I would guess that most of you bought the policy in Minnesota, some of you out of state. So I'm going to share with you what the Minnesota language is, very specifically. And if you have other language in your policy, we can review that with you as well. But because most of you are from Minnesota, we're going to talk about that. The waiting period says the number of calendar days, shown on page 3, during which you would otherwise qualify for benefits for nursing facility, bed reservation, home care services, or adult daycare. Days where care is not received are counted toward the elimination of the waiting period. Any day satisfied from the waiting period from a prior loss will not have to be satisfied again. That is significant. So what this is saying,
give
Stan,
me an example. Yeah.
Yep, that if it is documented that you needed care on January 1st, but even your dear beloved wife Karen took care of you, still must be documented that you needed care. You qualified with the two activities on January 1st. All right, and you have a 90-day wait. But Karen chose to take care of you for, let's say, 60 of those days. Those days would count because it says that days where care is not received are counted toward the elimination of the waiting period. And when they mean there, I mean, I realize Karen's taking care of you, but if you didn't hire somebody,
right,
they
okay.
still count the days.
Okay.
So that's how travelers counted these days toward the elimination period. This was peculiar to Minnesota, and it is very generous language. Otherwise, the LTC-3 policy said that you must be receiving services on each day in order to qualify.
Okay, so that's a different deal.
Yep. So this was very, very generous. But in any event, the other thing that's really critical there, it says any day satisfied toward the waiting period from a prior loss will not have to be satisfied again. So let me explain a story. I had a client by the name of Jenny who was in her mid-80s and is active and as you or I are. I mean, more, actually. In fact, she was taking aerobics class, and when she sat down on the bench to take her shoes off, she fell off the bench. The bench tipped over, and she fell off of it, and she broke a bone. And so in that course of that, she obviously needed therapy and rehab. And her husband had called me, and I said, I want you to put in a claim for that. And they said, well, it's only short term. Now, remember, this is pre-HIPAA policy that she had. So we could even put in a very short. No one would have said she was going to need rehab for over 90 days. She didn't have that language. It was just an inability to care for herself, bathing and dressing. She couldn't do those independently. So I said, put in a claim. And claim was for 21 days. Their policy had a 20-day wait. What that did, Stan, was satisfy the 20 days. Once those days are satisfied, they will never have to be re-satisfied again.
Goodness,
so later in her life, if she needs care, it will start the very first day because she's already satisfied.
So that's a good awareness. You know,
right.
We might be ready to shake things off and say, well, but
you know what?
It's a good idea to say, think down the road and maybe I'll take this now because it will help.
Right. And so those are things I just want you to understand about, again, how generous this policy was. The other thing that you need to know is that you have a waiver premium, which simply states that once you go on claim, you don't have to pay your premium while you're on claim. And that, again, is very generous. A lot of the policies had different language, whether it was facility care or home care. Travelers just simply said once you're on claim, you don't have to pay your premium. Again, everywhere they could be generous. For the most part, in my opinion, they were generous.
And I can just add, Deb might say this, is Deb is one of those insurance agents who literally read through every policy word by word, and I know that there were some policies and some companies which she just simply said,
we're not going to represent.
We're not going to represent them because this is for my clients and my friends. And you need to know that that was fundamental to every decision that you've always made, and you made it from the very beginning.
Yep. Then the final thing, Stan, is if you have an inflation feature, your benefit, that inflated not only your daily benefit, but it also inflated the policy maximum. So whether it was simple inflation or compound inflation, your benefit has been growing. And that's, I keep referring to my own policy, and my policy started at $100 a day. It is now up to, well, it's a little over $200 a day. But, and all I've done is bury that thing in a file cabinet and keep paying the premium, and the thing keeps growing. And I have an unlimited benefit. And once again, if you have an unlimited benefit, that is a treasure that is very hard to even buy today. But if you do, it's very expensive. So
I would simply add, you may want to add, is, you know, you bought it when you were at the age of some of our listeners' children, and maybe that'd be a good thing for them to make some of those same good decisions.
You're absolutely, I keep forgetting that, but you're right, Stan. I would say if you've got kids that are in their late 40s even, certainly in their 50s, they ought to be investing in their own long-term care plan at this point. So, absolutely. Now, I want to share with you one final thing, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to remind you of how great your policy is, and that is that we have been notified by MetLife that they are again applying for a premium increase. And we have been notified that they have filed. And each state is different, so I'm going to share with you Minnesota at the moment. I know that some other states where we know we have policyholders have already gotten approved and some haven't yet, but in Minnesota we know that it is not yet approved. They are estimating that it will be approved in September. That's when MetLife anticipates that. And when that happens, they're going to send you a letter indicating that that has been approved. Then 90 days later they'll send you, or excuse me, 90 days, the second notification will present specific details regarding the implementation of the rate action, including the amount of your increase and when it will take effect. And they've told us that they will do that typically 90 days before your anniversary date. So when you go back and you look again at the page 3, it'll give your anniversary date.
It's not your wedding anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, yes. How important is this anniversary date? So there is an anniversary date on there, and that, or policy date, I should say, probably. But that's the date that 90 days before that, they'll send you specifics about your policy. And so what I want to share with you is why this is happening and how important it is to keep your policy. Well, I think you understand how important it is to keep the policy. But there's, in order for an insurance company to pay claims on a long-term care policy, there's really two sources of money to pay the claims. One is the premiums that are coming in.
The money they're going to put in your bucket.
Right. You know, you're paying this premium, and that's money that's collectively going into an account that allows them to pay claims to people. And a reserve, which is very important. They set up a reserve right from the moment when you first bought your policy. They had a reserve requirement that had to be set up for those policies right away, and it's collectively in a reserve that the company holds. And so it's the interest that they earn on that reserve, the reserve itself, and the premiums that come in. That's it, money that's there to pay the claims. And so a couple of things that have happened over the time that you've had the policy, and that is that there has been a significant decline in interest rates, and that's the earnings that they are able to earn on that reserve bucket that they
went through the same issues that we went through personally.
Right. That's absolutely true. And it's over, you know, maybe as much as 10 or 15 years that some of us have had these policies, that interest rates have certainly declined over that period of time. Now, they could not invest their mandated that they can't be in really high-risk investments mostly. A lot of companies are really in bonds that give interest rates. So it is very interest rate sensitive. And so that's one of the main reasons why there has to be a need for a premium increase. And so that's my opinion about what's happening within that, but I think that that's certainly a big part of the reason that they're increasing premiums. So I just want to share again about my personal policy. I bought it actually when I was age 40, Stan, and I'm now approaching 57, so I've had it for 17 years. And my benefit went from $100 a day to $208 a day, and it will continue to grow. My premium, believe it or not, started at $725 a year because I bought it so young. But you'll all remember that we had an earlier premium increase. So my premium went up to $1,000 that time. And then this premium increase depends on what's approved, but it looks like it might be 30%. And that would have my premium going up to $1,300 a year for an unlimited $200 a day, 20-day wait, 5% compound inflation policy. I will tell you that if I went out today to buy a policy like that, it would cost me $4,200. And my premium is increasing to $1,300. So
that's the story.
It is the story. I can't make it less burdensome for you because I know that it's going to be a burden for some people, but I will tell you that you still have a tremendous value. And so when you get that letter with that increase, you will have choices, and maybe we can decrease the daily benefit, or we can increase the waiting period, or we can do something.
We can make adjustments.
Yep, to mitigate that cost for you. But I want to let you know that we're here to help you with that, as is the company. But I just want to share with you that what you have is a policy that could not be replaced anywhere near the premium that you've got.
So can we say, don't replace that policy?
Oh, no way. And congratulations, by the way, for having been as smart as you were to do this back in the days that you did it, because people that are buying policies today are having to pay higher premiums than we did when we bought ours.
Okay, our hope is that this has been helpful to encourage you in the fact that you made a very, very good decision. And I can tell you, your children and your family, if you need long-term care, they are going to be very, very happy that you made that decision, as will you be. And that was a good decision, and it continues, even with the price increases, to be a very, very good decision. But as always, Newman Long-Term Care is there to help you make that right decision as to what to do.
Well, thank you, Stan, for spending this time with me, and thank you all for listening.
This has been an audio presentation of Newman Long-Term Care, featuring Deb Newman and Stan Husted. If you have further questions on your long-term care insurance policy, please contact Newman Long-Term Care today at 612-454-4400. Once again, that's 612-454-4400. Thank you for listening.